This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog.
We do have a little grit and grime when we reach in our pants and pull it out.
On TSN 1050.
Anyone that wants to drop grit grinder, we're likely going to play that audio. But it when you reach into the pants and
pull something out, you're talking danger zone.
Making your drive home a lot more fun.
All right, here we go. Overdrive, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan.
What's up?
What is happening?
I have a major bone to pick with Pierre LeBrun.
Oh, really? What happened?
Total jerk move, and you know what I'm talking about.
I don't. I have no idea.
Our friend Sarah was outside of the studio, and I introduced Pierre to Sarah. And I said to Sarah, me and Pierre do some writing for ESPN.com or whatever it is, .ca.
But you don't.
No, it's .com. Yeah, ESPN.ca.
What is that? What's the difference?
ESPN.ru. It's a Russian outlet. What do you think it is, man? It's ESPN.
Whatever. Yeah. I said me and Pierre also do some writing for ESPN. And Pierre just started laughing his ass off. And he's like, I go, what are you laughing at? He's like, well, you know that's not true. It never would be true. So the idea of me writing to Pierre, he thought was laughable.
Well,
and he tried to embarrass me in front of Sarah.
But why did you even say that?
I was trying to impress Sarah, and he just... who cares why I said it? I said it.
Like, literally, you walk... Like, Pierre walks out of the studio, and you're like Ron Burgundy. $9.99, $1,000 doing curls. Oh, the burn.
Yeah, like, it was a gun show. It was a gun show that blew up right in his face. He forgot he didn't have the safety on, and it went off, and he shot himself in the foot.
I'll tell you what. You want to talk about something? Do you guys know how windy it was when we left here yesterday?
Dude. Yeah.
I want to tell you something that happened to me on the highway that I'm embarrassed to tell you, but it did happen. I'm trying to follow Steph actually on the 401, which is an app. She's Dale Earnhardt. She drives like an idiot. Yeah. So I'm driving and I'm like, it's windy. It's the windiest day of life. And a garbage bag gets filled up with air or wind, who knows, and starts flying in the air and it's coming right on top of my car.
Or both.
Do you think there's a difference between air and wind? Can we clarify something right out of the gate? Do you think there's a difference between air and wind?
Dude, who are you, the guy from the Discovery Channel now? Just shut up. This thing was flying in the air coming right at my truck. And I yelled for my life because you know how rocks and stuff fly off trucks?
Yes.
This looked like a boulder and I started screaming and I had the death grip on my steering wheel, and then it just fizzled out to a garbage bag.
And you ran right through it with your truck.
I did.
It is terrifying out there, though. You missed the ice storm.
Dude, I was like Cole Trickle going through the smoke in the corner. I had my eyes half closed, and I was like, please don't be a big boulder.
You missed the ice storm last week where every car in the city was coated with like 2 inches of ice.
Yeah.
And no one was de-icing their car. So they're on the 401 going 140, and there's massive chunks of ice flying everywhere. It was like an obstacle course.
An embarrassment.
Last week, the big rigs?
Off the U-Hauls, the big rigs.
Off the neons.
The neons. The golf carts. I mean, it didn't matter what you were driving. You had thick chunks of ice flying everywhere. But you're right. This stupid wind or air.
Air slash wind.
It is air slash wind.
You know my house, right? Like, I've got a corner lot. So we've got a pretty decent-sized front yard that kind of loops around. Whenever it gets windy, my front yard looks like basically the amphitheater after AC/DC plays.
So it's just
there's garbage everywhere. Like, I drove out of my garage today, and I looked on my own lawn, and I'm like, that is a disgrace. Like, that's Cousin Eddie's front lawn. So today I'm out there with the gloves on. I'm picking up garbage.
Is it from the neighbors' garbage or
what? It's from neighbors' garbage. It's kids throwing things on the street. Like the wind, it just collects. It's almost like my front yard is a magnet for the whole neighborhood's garbage, and you can barely see grass. It's loaded with garbage. So I've had like the craziest day to begin with. I'm in no mood today. Today might be the end of the road. in terms of just me trying to grind through.
Just you've had enough. You're going to just melt down.
The kid's not sleeping. I forgot about an appointment at the house this morning. I forgot about a radio interview. I'm going to the Marley game tonight. It's just, it's bedlam. But anyway, I'm out on my front lawn picking things up. And then on the way in, I realize it's recycling night tonight, and it's supposed to be windy again.
Oh, yeah.
So what am I supposed to do? Like, do I just let it?
The dumpster will be back again tomorrow.
What you have to do is relax. Is there any neighborhood kids? Like, is there a 12 or 13-year-old that kind of rumbles around? You see him behind a fence, you know, smoking or, you know, just being a kid.
You fire him some cash and say, whenever you see this, you check on this every week. If you come ever see stuff, you pick it up.
You come and see me. Here's a 50 or 100, however generous you want to be, and you say, my yard doesn't have debris, and I will keep you in cigarettes for as long as you want. Through your teen years.
So you're saying I should buy this kid a carton of cigarettes?
I'm not saying. I'm saying you give him cash. You give him cash.
Couple packs. That's it.
Couple packs. I'm saying give him cash. If he wants to buy smokes with it illegally somehow, he can do that. You don't enable the kid. I'm just saying if there's a kid that needs to stay busy, give him a few dollars. He will come and pick the trash up off your front lawn, and then you have no problem. And if he ever gives you grief, like if for some reason you come out and there's a trash bin there, you go knock on his door.
Well, that's the problem, though.
See, here's the man move. If you want to think about this, you're going to the Marley game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You've had a bad day.
Yes, you are.
You've had a bad day.
Yeah.
You text the wife and say, you know what? I'm staying at my parents' tonight, and I'm going to blow off some steam. Why are you laughing at that?
Because that is my favorite phrase on planet Earth, blowing off steam.
Yeah.
It just means you're a degenerate that kind of had to do something, like real
life
stuff.
It's like blowing off steam means eating pizza on a sidewalk at 4 in the morning.
But it just means...
That is the definition of blowing off steam.
Blowing off steam is doing something so stupid.
Yeah.
And having way too many drinks and eating something so inappropriate.
And then waking up the next day.
It's a gyro at 4 in the morning. That's what blowing off steam is.
But it takes you 3 days to recover off of blowing off steam. So the next day you get back, you're not recovered.
Mm-hmm. This guy. Imagine the week we'd have to put up with.
He was still hungover yesterday, but he fought through.
Dude, I was out on Friday night. And
you were still feeling it yesterday?
I needed some pea soup and a tuna sandwich badly.
And six assists?
I needed the Dougie Gilmore treatment real bad. Speaking of which...
Imagine that if Dougie Gilmore could start a company up. If you have a bang up night, I'll come over. I'll bring you some pea soup and a sandwich, and you'll be. It's like Hangover Heaven.
It's called Hangover Heaven, but it's Dougie Gilmore style. And how is our poll? Because I think it just finished.
It just concluded. That's why we've been talking the way we've been talking for 8 minutes. Because at 4:08 yesterday, we threw it up there. Oh, you threw it up on your Twitter account. The first of four quarterfinals for the Bar Play Hall of Fame bracket.
And yesterday's matchup was Gilmore 93 against Bautista after game 5. And the results are in. 3,439 votes. Gilmore 93 is moving on with 60% of the votes.
Dougie is into the semis of the Bar Play Bracket Hall of Fame.
That's the thing. Was there any doubt? I mean, I know it was the Bautista bat flip. It was amazing. I was there. But like... It's Dougie G.
I'll tell you what. The winner of today's quarterfinal may take the killer down.
And you're going to do the poll, and I'm going to retweet it because I butchered the one yesterday.
Yeah, and we should have Steph do it.
Steph will retweet it. The TSN Twitter account will tweet it. Today's quarterfinal, better bar play. Leonardo DiCaprio right after Titanic was released.
Yikes.
Picture Leo rolling into a bar and saying, who wants to be my rose tonight?
With his arms stuck straight out like he's on the front of that boat.
Imagine him at a pool party.
Just standing there.
Dude, but he would just stand on the diving board with his arms out, and he would have chicks jumping at him like fish dying for food.
He would be like a bear.
Like those fish in the mall that are just wheeling around for the crumbs.
He would be like a bear
at Yellowstone,
standing in the stream, and the fish are just jumping up, and he's grabbing them.
DiCaprio post-Titanic, or Derek Jeter right after a World Series ring.
In Manhattan.
In Manhattan. Anywhere on the island of Manhattan. So that is the second quarter final. Like, we thought Dougie versus Joey Bats was going to be tough.
Yeah.
It's up there on Twitter, at HayesTSN. We'll all retweet it. We have 24 hours to see who was going through into the semifinals to take on Dougie Gilmore on Friday. You have to wonder what Jimmy Vesey's bar play is like in Nashville today, where this kid is a collegiate star, right? He's up for the Hobie Baker. He's likely going to finish top two or top three for the Hobie Baker, which is essentially the MVP. It's like the Heisman for the hockey programs down there.
He ultimately pulled a Justin Schultz, didn't he?
I mean, he had the ability to sign in Nashville last night and start playing
and
right away.
By the way, think about this. Well, who knows what it was, but they said you could be a top six.
They saved a spot for him. They didn't trade for somebody at the deadline because they felt that he was going to sign and join the Predators when he was done school and go right into the playoffs.
Somebody was a total D-bag in that whole situation.
I agree. But
and
you
know one influence that could have been a factor in the D-baggery.
But if you ask
him. And you know exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm. If you ask him, what's he going to say?
Are we talking about the Lou app?
Unfortunate set of circumstances.
Lou's not going to answer anything because everyone's already connecting the Maple Leafs to Jimmy Vesey.
Why don't you just hit the stinger for the Lou app, and I want you to tell me what Lou said to Jimmy Vesey's dad.
Well, I don't even know. I think that's an exclusive download for the Vesey family. I don't think that goes public. I think that's an upgrade on the Lou app that only the Vesey family can be privy to, because last year they happened to hire his dad as a scout for the Boston area. They drafted his brother a couple of years ago in the sixth round. And now that's why everyone's already saying, wait a minute, something's going on here. Yeah. Because Jimmy Vesey, you got to be careful with this.
Yeah, that's
because
tampering.
This doesn't mean, no, what I'm saying is it doesn't mean he's going to be a Hall of Famer superstar. Like, if he signs here, people are going to jump to conclusions that they've got a steal here and he's going to be a beast and a stud and score 30 goals a year. Where's Justin Schultz right now? A complete flop. And there's been a couple of other collegiate kids. Kevin Hayes, another kid that did this to Chicago. He's been okay in New York. Hasn't been great, though, this year. And VC, again, according to people we know and trust, Craig Button loves this kid. He deserves accolades, and he deserves some love, and people are going to be excited about signing him, whoever gets him. But it doesn't mean you're getting McDavid 2.0 here.
No.
But
good point.
He had the ability to sign with Nashville, who drafted him back in 2012, walk right into the lineup, burn a year of his entry level by playing the remainder of this season and into the playoffs.
Right.
And he has decided, you know what? I'm going to pass on that. I'm going to become a free agent August 15th, and I'm going to go somewhere else. And you have to wonder how much he knows about the other opportunities out there. And there's one organization that can leak opportunities, and I would think it's the team right here in this town.
Yeah.
Who can all of a sudden go to his dad, who is an employee, say, we like that kid. I think we could find a spot for him.
And you know what? They might have screwed over the Nashville Predators, Brian, but screw the Nashville Predators, because you know how many times they've probably promised a kid a spot and screwed over a player? So screw the Predators. Too bad. Too bad, because I guarantee you, if you caught any agent on the phone right now, they'll tell you about multiple situations of things promised and the player gets screwed. So screw you, Nashville. You got screwed. That's just it's not right, but they got screwed.
It does go both ways.
Exactly.
It absolutely
careful
goes
what
both
you
ways.
Wish for, too, on both sides, because you know, like I
guarantee you, Nashville screwed over. I actually know they do because I talked to an agent today.
That's fair.
It's just like
it's business.
It's
business. But the thing is be careful with what you do. It's his right to go unrestricted free agency. I don't like the way that it went down. That's my issue. If you're not going to sign with a team, don't lead them on. As recent as a couple weeks ago, say, I'm looking at now. David Poile doesn't have anything to lose in this.
Oh, he certainly does.
No, as far as coming forward and saying this is what I feel happened.
I think he does. I think he's like. I can't take him 100% at his word, David Poile.
Well, you know what?
I got to hear it from both sides.
Right.
If he goes on television and says we were lied to, but then all the agents that were lied to by David Poile should make a statement saying that guy screwed me over in 2010 or 2009, because that's the way the game goes.
But do you not think here? Sorry to interrupt. Do you not think he would conduct his business different at the deadline if he doesn't think that the player's coming?
My point is,
that's
it's too
a greasy
bad.
Move by VC. That's a greasy move.
It is, but it's also, I don't want to say it's an amateur move, but without certainty, you should get your business done beforehand.
Correct.
Like, without his name on a contract, you can't give any guarantees to your team or to your fan base that this kid is definitely going to be here. By all accounts, Poyle went to VC and said, hey, can you give us a heads up here because we'll keep a spot open for
right.
you.
And if not, we're going to move
if
past
If not,
you.
We'll do something else. And VC said, I think I'm coming or right. I'm coming. And again, up until recently, according to David Poyle, when he spoke
right.
with the media,
it's one side.
He said he was of the impression it was a done deal or real close to it, give or take.
Right.
But in business, unless you've got the name on the contract, nothing is a done deal.
Agreed.
So I don't really sympathize that much with Nashville. I think it's sour business. It's greasy business. Like, if he gave him his word and he bailed on him,
right.
that's not a good look for VC. But in business, this kind of stuff happens. And to O's point, I'm sure Nashville has let on players in the past mm-hmm. and then said, oh, sorry, this guy actually wants to play for us, so see you well, later. We're not going to give you that deal.
The business of hockey behind the scenes can get greasy on both sides. I don't disagree with that. All I'm saying in this case, the player, it doesn't look very good on the player if that's the case from one side that's what we're seeing. And that's David Poyle visibly upset last night doing his media saying, like, we thought we had something here. Obviously, we didn't. But my point is should Poyle have done his due diligence when they offered him a contract earlier and the kid said no? Doesn't that send a signal up going, if this kid's not coming, we may have to, you know, plan something else?
Last year, they were hoping he'd come out of school.
That's
and he said,
point.
No, I'm going back for a fourth year.
Right.
And when the VC hiring in Toronto took place and the rumors have been out there and the reports have been out there that he's going to walk from Nashville,
right.
I think David Poyle should have been reading the tea leaves.
That's what I'm getting at. Is he has to know, unless it's completely like the guy's just been saying, yeah, I'm coming, I'll sign at the deadline, and he pulls the rug out from him. We don't know. Only the VC camp know and the Poyle camp know behind closed doors. That's the only thing I don't like in the dynamic. VC is free to sign anywhere he wants. It's his choice. It's his right. He's using the CBA in his... Because believe me, just like O-Dog said, teams use the CBA against players all the time.
Absolutely.
And he has leverage. He's using the leverage. Here's the interesting part. This guy has an opportunity, or had an opportunity, to sign with the Nashville Predators, burn a year off of his contract, and step right into a playoff situation in a pretty solid organization and a pretty good team that could do some damage. And if he signs with Toronto or a team like Justin Schultz did, thinking, oh, I'm going to be a star on an up-and-coming team, and it doesn't work out, you know, you're taking a real chance on yourself.
Well, and I think when you take emotion out of it, and mm-hmm. you take a connection to any team out of it, that's where the confusion is built in for a lot of people. Because
right.
they're like, kid, you can walk right in, play for a very good team in a market that is not going to be all over you.
Yeah.
Nashville is not Toronto. It's not Boston. It's not Philly. You're not going to be a star. You're not going to be the face. You're going to get your money right off the bat. You're going to burn a year on your ELC.
Right.
You're going to get an opportunity for playoff hockey with a team that's starting to heat up here, and some people are thinking they could do some damage.
Yeah.
So simply from that standpoint, it's very intriguing that he would move.
It is.
But that's where the potential collusion comes into play, because you find it hard to believe he'd say, no, I'm good. I'm just going to wing it on August 15th.
There's like, no way he's winging it.
I don't think he's winging it. I think that's why there's a lot of people in Toronto very confident this kid's going to come here, because he knows exactly what's going to be laid out in front of him.
Yeah.
A quick little mini yes guy, no guy. Was VC greasy?
Potentially guy.
Potentially
guy.
Taddy, like, if we'll steal that one from you for sure.
Potentially guy should be an option every once in a while. But like, if he spoke to Poyle face to face and said, I'm in, I'm coming,
then he's a jerk.
Then, you know, it's not a good look. It's not a good look. Even though he does reserve the right to change his mind.
Full right to him. The player has the rights. The optics of it, and again, I've only gotten the one side. The optics of it last night, when in watching and listening to David Poyle, he was frustrated and certainly upset. And he has the right to be, but I just didn't like that type, how it went down. He has the full right to do it, but if you don't have an intention to sign with a team, don't mess with the team at the deadline.
Well,
if they have a trade for Let's just be hypothetical. Maybe they're going to grab a guy like Brandon Peary at the deadline for a seventh rounder.
But why not do that anyway? And tell Peary, hey, when you show up, if you're going on waivers again, you're going on waivers, or you're going to the minors, or you're a black ace, you're a black ace.
But if you believe somebody at their face value saying, yeah, I'm going to sign there, and then the guy doesn't.
That's dangerous, though. That is very dangerous.
That's like Steven Stamkos. Let's just go this. Say he says, yeah, I'm leaning towards Toronto, and then he signs with Montreal.
Yeah, but that's different because they don't hold his rights. Nashville has pumped money into his development. They've kept close ties with him.
Well, they drafted him.
They've drafted him. They're well aware of where he's at and where his game is going. They clearly felt the connection to the kid.
Right. What was the worst one recently? Wasn't it Mark Cuban?
DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah, he was losing his mind. Yeah,
well, that's because of the moratorium. There's a 10-day moratorium where you can verbally agree, but you don't sign. And he verbally agreed to go to Dallas, and then he pulled the chute and said, no, I'm good in L.A.
But then they found out it was the agent greasing everything behind the scenes, and the guy had to stand up to his agent.
Well, his former teammates, didn't they also make a plea and say...
Former teammates went to his house and locked themselves in his house.
Well, they did the old fly down to Brett Favre's place in Mississippi and they begged him to come back.
The only thing that bothers me in all this optics is if the player pulled VC Greasy move at the last minute. I don't like that because
Hashtag VC's Greasy.
If you do that, then that doesn't bode well for me or your reputation.
I'm with you.
Do whatever you want.
Some team is going to have a prospect fall in their lap here. And if it's Toronto that benefits from it, and it could be Boston, it could be LA, it could be anyone at this point. But if it is Toronto, Leaf fans are going to quickly forget and really not sympathize that much for Nashville. Because, again, he's 22. He's not a young kid necessarily, but he's been lighting up the NCAA for a few years.
Right.
Craig had him, I believe, in the top 10 in his prospect list.
He was supposed
about
to be
a month
able to
ago,
play in the NHL
like ready
year.
To rock.
So, I mean,
so it'll be intriguing to see that track.
He's
all
allowed
the way
to wear
August
92
15th.
For the blue and white.
Oh, you're going to give him your number?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 50 hours in Vegas is back. We will give you the question of the day. We're giving away a trip to Vegas and $1,000 of spending money. So we'll get to today's Twitter question of the day. We're updating our second quarter finals of bar play.
I'm going to do that quickly right now, or should we do it after the break?
Why don't we do that as well after the break?
See that, pal? You regroup, man. You were so miserable to start this show.
I'm back.
You're back, buddy.
I'm back. Jimmy Vesey, we're at number 92. For the Maple Leafs, it all makes sense. It all makes sense. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app. All right, so the Maple Leafs lost last night, but they played really well. It was a perfect outcome, losing in regulation. I think we'd all like to see the exact same thing play out tonight. Lose in regulation, but dominate the game. Kids look very good. So we'll talk about that throughout the afternoon. Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, will be calling the game on TSN 4 tonight. You can hear it right here on TSN Radio. He'll join us just after 5 p.m. Not such a great night for the Raptors. They got smoked by Oklahoma City. And the big fear in the city today revolves around Kyle Lowry and his shooting arm, more specifically his elbow. It's all mashed up. It's been injured for a while. He's shooting poorly. He's not playing great. And when he's not playing great, they can't win. And they're 2 weeks away from the playoffs tipping off.
Why isn't he being shut down?
I don't have an answer for you.
Okay, I'm serious. All that matters to this team is success in the playoffs. He's their best player, and he's under the gun, too, to perform in the playoffs.
Yeah. Oh, so, more than anyone.
That's right. So why not shut him down and make sure he's perfect for the playoffs?
It's ridiculous that they continue to play him, the amount of minutes that he's playing, and Cleveland is now three games up on them. Cleveland's ending up with the first seed. Like, LeBron is motivated again. The team seems to be kind of locked in Cleveland. The Raptors are going to finish with the second seed if Lowry plays or if he doesn't play. And Chicago has fallen off. They're not going to get the Bulls in the first round. So you know what's coming.
Yeah.
In 2 weeks, you're going to have home court against either Indiana or Detroit. And if Kyle Lowry is 75% when he could be 90%,
yeah,
I don't even understand why this is a discussion internally, but Casey continues to be stubborn. He will not shut him down.
Is it Casey or is it the doctors or
the player?
Or the player, because it's easy for the the coach to go. If the player says, yeah, I'm good to go, the coach goes, okay, you can go. But to me, the general manager, the doctors, the player, and the coach all have to sit in one room and go, what's best for the organization moving forward? What harm is it in him sitting out for like 3 days, just shutting it down, rest for 3 days, see if that helps a little bit? But maybe it's an injury, or maybe it's something that, you know, it's more structural, and you just have to play.
Masai has to go down to the doctor and say what has to happen for him to be perfect for the start of the playoffs, and then whatever it takes, that's what you do. It's very simple.
Yeah, it's playoff mode.
Anything else is stupidity.
It's playoff mode. Like, LeBron unfollowed Cleveland on Twitter because he wanted to get focused on the playoffs.
Right.
That is the equivalent here. It's a bursa sack on his shooting elbow. He's shooting so poorly over the past four games. It's not structural. But Casey and Lowry, I guess, don't believe shutting him down would really help.
So a bursa sack on the elbow. You've probably had those where you bang your elbow on the dasher and you have to drain it.
And seeing guys drain it in the training room is the grossest thing
it is
you've ever seen in your entire life. Because they pop it or
it's like a zit that doesn't stop for miles.
It's disgusting. It pops and it squirts across. Like, it's disgusting.
It's like popping a milk bag.
Exactly. But on your elbow. And there are guys that you can play through it. That one thing I will. I had it for goaltenders, because you fall on your elbow, and if your elbow pad would slide, you would bang your elbow on the ice.
And the worst part about it is it's so hard to keep clean and not get infected.
Exactly.
Because you're sweating and you're working every day, and it's so hard to get rid of.
And equipment rubbing on it.
They don't have elbow pads, but there's elbow pads, there's the sweat, and it's real tough to deal with. And when it gets infected, then you got a serious problem.
Well, and that's the fear here. If he keeps grinding and he keeps working out and he keeps practicing and he keeps playing, like, I understand it goes both ways, because you want him in shape. You want him feeling good come the playoffs. But this is his shooting arm. This is his bread and butter. If he can't shoot, he's going to be incredibly ineffective.
Why wouldn't you saw it in half and say, let's take a week here, because you're a couple weeks away from the playoffs. Take a week, shut it down, drain it. See if it can heal a little bit where there's, you know, not aggravation. He can still ride the bike, stay in shape a little bit, and then a week before playoffs, fire him back up again.
That's right.
Or vice versa, play him another week, shut him down a week before playoffs, and let him get going just, you know, a day or two before playoffs. And your timing's not going to go away at this point of the season.
No, exactly.
You're
He's a vet.
You're a groove.
They've got 9 games left, couple of weeks left. Let's say he plays 3 or 4 games. I think I could live with that. But if he plays 9 straight and continues to play poorly and look like he's out of sorts,
and then plays garbage in the playoffs, somebody's head is going to roll.
Well, Dwayne Casey's is who's going to roll. I mean, he's going to take heat. And Kyle Lowry, people are going to start turning on him as well. He's going to be just a regular season guy. He's going to be a regular season MVP, because he was horrible last year against Washington. The year before, he wasn't much better against Brooklyn, but he's had injury problems. And this is the fear if you're a Raptors fan, is we've seen this play out the same way before, where he hits a wall at the end of the year, he gets injured, and all of a sudden everything starts to fade, because he is the catalyst of this team.
Many moons ago, the Detroit Red Wings, I think there was maybe 2 weeks left in the season, I'll have to look it up, they sent Steve Yzerman on vacation, and they said the only ice we want, there's a famous quote, the only ice we want him to see is in his drink. And he just went away and came back, jacked up for the playoffs. They got to shut this guy down. It's stupid.
Yeah, you're not playing for anything right
nothing.
Now. Nothing. You're playing to set yourself up for game one in 2 weeks.
That's
exactly where it is. This whole season is predicated on playoff success. Doesn't matter if they end up with 50 wins, 55 wins. It's been a great season. But it will all be forgotten if they can't perform come playoff
time. I mean, is a guy playing to avoid a matchup? Is somebody's ego involved where they want to catch?
Well, listen, he's a grinder. Like, I got a lot of time for Kyle Lowry's mentality.
But when you got to shut it down to be ready for the playoffs,
you've
got to shut it down.
You can't be selfish here if you're Lowry.
He reached deep down.
He may have reached
deep
down.
He's in his pants too much.
He may have actually taken it online.
People driving today don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
All right, we
got
to play it now, because Dwayne Casey was talking yesterday about how he would compare this year's team to last year's team.
We do have a little grit and grime when we reach in our pants and pull it out.
He's got to get that bursa sack out of those pants.
Wow.
He's got to pop that thing, man, and he's got to get healthy. Fears in New York the past few days about Matt Harvey, your boy Noodles.
Yes.
Who you partied with in Hollywood.
Yeah, well, nice enough gentleman.
You didn't know who the hell he was, but good guy.
Yes, good quality person.
Noodles was the guy that Harvey did a special last year. I think it was for, Letterman or something, where he just went to Central Park and he was like, what do you think of Matt Harvey? And he was conducting it. And some people started carving him, and then he was like, I am Matt Harvey. So Noodles was basically one of those people.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I'm not a dink that would, like, attack somebody. Like, if, you know, what do you think of Matt Harvey? I'd be like, I'm sorry, I don't know him. But, you know, he's a nice guy.
Nice guy. That is a dangerous game.
And I said this to you the minute that I told you, and you were like, he's a hell of a player.
Dude.
Like, this guy's going to get paid, too.
Oh, yeah. Like, he's up for a contract maybe after this year. He's the race. They got a great young staff in New York. Yeah. And Harvey is the man, the myth, the legend. Like, he's kind of the new Jeter in New York. He's living downtown Manhattan.
Yeah, but I got to go back to the story a little bit, because you're acting like what it was is I showed up at this place called Hyde with a buddy of mine, and he said, we're going to sit in the owner's booth. So I assumed, because he was kind of the big dog in the booth, that's the owner. That's a fair assumption.
Right. And it turns out it was Matt Harvey.
Turns out it was Matt Harvey's booth. We weren't in the owner's. I think
that's
it was
a
the
quality
owner's
of life for any of those athletes. Like, I think there's a very high population of athletes that retreat to Los Angeles in the summer. Like, if you just play baseball or in their off season, whenever their off season is, I think Sidney Crosby goes out there. It's just like,
well, he trains in Aspen too. A lot of those guys go in and they go into Colorado and train in high altitudes.
Well, people leave you alone though in LA.
Yeah.
Because they're used to celebrities.
That's probably why they go there.
That's what it is. Like, you know, paparazzi may be kicking around, but the average person's going to leave you alone because they're not starstruck.
They don't even care.
Plus,
they don't.
They don't
plus
really
everyone
care.
There is a hero. Everyone there is, you know, the aspiring actor or wrote a screenplay or did this and that. So everyone's got their own agenda there.
They don't care about your superstar.
They care less about,
they're worried about their own
always,
ego.
The thing in L.A. is there's always somebody more famous, more richer, all of that right around the corner.
Can I ask you a personal question,
correct,
Noodles?
Yes.
When you were partying with Matt Harvey.
Yes.
How often did you see him go to the washroom? Did he go to the washroom at all?
No, I don't remember.
But you don't remember?
I don't remember. Like, okay. I was all over the map.
Why do you ask?
Well, well, the reason I bring
story,
this up,
yeah,
it's up there on Deadspin.com. It's circulating right now. There was a big panic again around the Mets and in New York recently that he was in danger of missing his opening day start due to a mystery ailment. And what made it worse was the manager and the GM, they refused to say anything about it. So the media's down there like, dude, what's going on with Harvey? Like, opening day is less than a week away. He's got to be ready. And they wouldn't say anything. Harvey came out recently and basically quieted all the fears down and said he had a bladder infection from holding pee too long. He had to go to the washroom so many times and for so long, it got to the point where his bladder, I guess, just revolted on him and said, dude, screw
enough.
You. And it led to actually some clots,
well,
which is pretty scary.
There was a blood clot.
There was, but he got tested, cleared for light activities. He's okay for opening day. And Harvey said today, quote, anytime there's discoloration in your urine, it's not a great feeling. This is so typical. This is how you know celebrities are just like every other person out there, just regular human beings.
Yeah.
He said, quote, reading some pretty nasty things about what it could be wasn't much fun. So he did what everyone else does, Google,
WebMD.
And this guy probably thought he had picked something up from God knows where, and he was freaking
for
out.
What?
Because everyone does that, right? You get like a little mark in the arm, and you're on Google, and you're like, oh, my God, my arm's going to fall off. Because it's always the darkest worst option that comes up on WebMD.
So it's like, doesn't Kramer have a guy, Bob Sacamano, who everything happens bad to that guy?
Right.
Gets a scratch on his arm. Well, Bob Sacamano's arm fell off from a scratch.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he probably thought, that there was some sort of, you know, listen, I don't
Bob
know if he's
Sacamano.
Single or not. I know where you're driving down that road.
Oh,
I know where you're thinking.
He's single, apparently. And
okay, so then.
Well, I shouldn't say that. I don't know, but discoloration would freak everyone out.
Okay, so you think that Jeter may have gone on WebMD at some point? That's what you're saying?
Would
or
that
DiCaprio?
Shock you?
In our poll today, who would have gone on WebMD more? Oof. DiCaprio or Jeter?
I got to go with the Cap.
I think old Jeets McGeets might have checked that out after a bit.
I think Jeets McGeets for sure.
It might be his homepage. Imagine your, like, what kind of a reaction would you get from a girl if she came over to your house and she said, hey, can I borrow your laptop? Yeah, go ahead. And your homepage is WebMD.
Yeah, go ahead. But if you start swiping right, I'll break your arm.
Be careful what you find on there. We'll hit the Grit Grinder next. All right, Ray Ferraro will join us in about 10 minutes. He's calling the Maple Leaf game tonight in Florida. You can watch it on TSN 4. Hear it right here on TSN 1050. Did Kadri attempt an embellishment last night?
73%. Didn't I say that?
You did.
I think I won.
Do you think he did?
The one where Stamkos gave him a tap.
I think he was really close to going down.
Now, the other one where he was flapping his arm and then...
He's got to just stop it.
And like, then he cross-checked the guy from behind on the boards. That one,
that's no chance that every time he gets slashed or whatever, it's on the soft spot. Like, your equipment protects you. And the wincing face and the crouching on, doing the Phil crouch on the bench, it's like, I'm only drawing from my own experiences. Gary Roberts, you would have to break that guy's arm for any kind of wincing or...
I know, but he's the extreme.
Okay, that's an extreme case, but...
Like, okay, so you're going...
For God's sake,
he's got to be somewhere...
Just start playing.
He's got to be somewhere in between Verbata and Roberts.
Yes.
That's what it is. And you know what?
Sniffles.
I thought I won that little debate at 73%.
I think you might have. I don't think he can help himself. It's like a drug. He's addicted to embellishment.
He's addicted.
He can't fight it. He needs rehab.
Yeah, like I will say this with his frame, like he's a slender guy. He doesn't have a big steak ass like me. His frame, like it doesn't. He's not a grit grinding low center of gravity player.
All right, do you guys want to hit?
Yes,
the grit grinder.
And now it's time for the 40-30 Wrangler low center of gravity grit player of the game.
I'm a professional grinder.
We do have a low grit and grind when we reach in our pants and pull it out.
The 40-30 low center of gravity grit grinder brought to you by Wrangler Advanced Comfort Jeans. Oh,
I'm going to go with Pete DeBoer. He's my grit grinder.
A coach?
A coach. San Jose Sharks are in the playoffs after all the nonsense and garbage that went on there last year.
Yeah. Guess who they're being led by?
John Thornton.
And the general manager's still kicking around there.
Mm-hmm.
Who's yours?
The ref last night.
Oh, we've got to play this audio for you people.
We'll get into it. We won't have time.
Wes
now,
McCauley.
Right?
We'll do it in the next hour.
Wes McCauley was like Bruce Buffer.
He was like Waterboy.
He literally put on a show announcing that was a goal.
I'll go with Ben Bishop,
who
was brilliant last night, because the Leafs deserved to win that game. Cooper said it postgame. He said there's team shutouts and then individual shutouts.
Yeah.
It's like, which one do you think that was? Bishop was world-class last night. The 40-30 low center of gravity grit grinder was brought to you by Wrangler Advanced Comfort Jeans, built with U-shape construction and four-way flex technology. Wrangler Advanced Comfort Jeans are the most comfortable jeans you'll ever wear.
Guaranteed.
Ray Ferraro in 10 minutes. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050.